Welcome to the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are helping the small church fulfill the big mission. My name is Brian. My life is dope and blessed, and I do dope and blessed things. And I'm joined by two guys who had no idea I was going to steal their tagline, Joey and Colby. Guys, how y'all doing?
I'm blessed.
I'm angry. I'm sorry.
Okay, let's do it this way. I'm a fellow small church pastor in the trenches, so I'm joined by Joey and Colby. How are you guys doing?
My life is dope, and I do dope things.
And I am blessed.
And we never ask, but Brian, how are you doing?
Oh, wow. I'm not
really. Because we do care, we just never ask.
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. I'm glad to be here talking about this topic of discouragement today. I know that each one of us that are here, I would say sitting around the table, but we're socially distancing around the room. We've all encountered discouragement as pastors, as humans, as husbands, as fathers, as just all these things. We've encountered discouragements, especially the Dallas Cowboys fan in the room today. Of course, I probably shouldn't say anything as a
well. Our teams are 28-3. Our teams are 0-2, and he's 1-1. Oh, so, man.
Oh my goodness. Well, bless God. Anyway, so as we talk about discouragement, guys, what do you think?
I'm a Christian. I got Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
How can you be discouraged
Come on,
when somebody. You have those two Hallelujah. In your life? Ooh. I mean, are you really a Christian if you're facing discouragement?
I'm not as holy as that.
I wish I had a tambourine just for that moment. And I hate tambourines. But yeah, that's a common thought process that goes through a lot of people's minds. Is you've got the comforter, the hope of all hope. How could you possibly face discouragement?
Yeah, Pastor, how can you get discouraged at what you are facing? I mean, you're a holy man. You can't get discouraged. I mean, you should take all of this. I should be able to do what I want to you, and you just absorb it and go on because you got Jesus.
The answer would be I'm discouraged because I got to deal with people like you.
That's
right. Yeah. I mean, that is the truth. It's I wouldn't be discouraged if you would do the things that you're supposed to do as a Christ follower.
I mean, come on.
Oops, let me drop this
mic. Hey, it's your mic. You can drop it. You're allowed to. That is a common thing that people feel like, though, is that discouragement, depression, anxiety, those things are just not allowed as part of the Christian's life. And I would just really caution having a really aggressive outlook on that, because the reality is we're followers of Jesus. Paul said to the Corinthians, right, that we have this treasure in jars of clay. So there is treasure, but the jars are just... I mean, they can fall and they can be cracked pots before you know it. And speaking of cracked pots, I'm joined by two of the best guys in the business. So as we kick off this discouragement thing, Joy, what I'm hearing you say is that discouragement is possible even if you have the Spirit of God.
I'm still human.
Oh, come on now. I want to give a shout out to the book, again, Replenish. We talk about that book often. But there's one line that it haunts me from that book. He said that as a pastor for so long, he didn't allow himself to be human. And I think that those of us that have sat in that seat, we understand we're supposed to be superhuman. When in reality, Joey, why don't you share again?
I'm only human.
I'm only human. And with that being said, we'd like to bring our counselor in, Reverend Colby.
So I've always had that, have said, I hate that excuse. I hate the excuse that we're only human, because a lot of people will use that excuse to justify the sins that they do. And hey, I'm only human. It's just how I'm wired. It's this, it's that. But the truth is, we are human. And so we're going to face discouragement. We're going to have struggles. We're going to do, we're going to do dumb things. And so the reality of it is we are human, no matter what position we hold, whether we're a senior pastor of a mega church, we're a senior pastor of a medium-sized church, senior pastor of a small church, a volunteer, a youth pastor in a small church, whatever it is, we are human, and we are going to face the discouragement that happens, and it comes with a lot of things that we'll talk about here today.
So what I'm hearing is of the three pastors in this room, two of them in a Pentecostal church has faced discouragement along the way. Is that what I'm hearing?
And the one from a friend's church as well.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, discouragement is just part and parcel of the life of being a human. You know, one of the things that I would definitely encourage you guys to read, if you think that discouragement isn't part of the life of someone who's a follower of the Lord, is the Bible. Discouragement happens often, like I think about, and maybe
that's a good book to read, isn't it?
Like, I think about Jonah, right? Like, Jonah goes to Nineveh, and Jonah is just a terrible person anyway. He wanted the Ninevites to die, but he gets so angry that God actually turns his wrath away and forgives them that he's, like, griping and complaining. He says, just kill me. Like, I'd rather be dead than watch you give forgiveness to these people. Well, that's terrible discouragement that he has, and he's got to get his life right. But then we look at Elijah. Elijah has the same scenario. Like, he feels like he's the only one that's left, and somebody
after the mountaintop experience.
After the mountaintop experience, and he just wants to die. He says, Lord, kill me. Moses says, please, just take me out, because I don't want to be around these terrible people anymore. Like,
well, even before that, I defended the Jews, but the people who are my Israelite brothers, and now they're going to tell on me, and I got to get out of town. And lived in discouragement in the backside of the desert.
That's absolutely. And now there's probably somebody out there who's going, well, guys, that's Old Testament. Well, I'd be like, okay, well, let me read something to you that Paul would say. Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 11, he's going through all of these things, and, you know, he's like, hey, I've been in danger. I've faced danger from rivers and robbers and from my own people and from the Gentiles, and I've been hungry. I've been shipwrecked, all of that. And then he says this, verse 28 of 2 Corinthians 11. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, so don't hurt me about that. It's just easier to read out loud on a radio show. Then beside radio show? Huh?
Either way.
Podcast?
Man, we stepped up.
Yeah, I didn't tell you guys. That's what, this is a new thing. Surprise. It's a surprise. We're getting the Disney Channel. Merry Christmas. Okay. Then, besides all of this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak without me feeling weak? Who is led astray that I don't burn with anger? Like, this is Paul the Apostle here.
We think of Peter. Why did Jesus ask him three times if he loved him? Because he was discouraged. Because of the things that he had denied Christ. There was discouragement there, and Jesus knew that, so he asked Peter three times to feed my sheep.
Hey, and let's not forget, Jesus himself said to Peter, James, and John, the three, when they're in the Garden of Gethsemane, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. I'm not a psychologist, but I would probably diagnose that as discouraged, depressed, anxious. This is the Lord Jesus. Okay, yeah. So just take that for what it's worth. Man, them boys are preaching today. You know what I'm talking about. At this moment in the podcast, we would like to receive a tithe and offering. So just bow your head where you are right now listening to this, unless you're driving. Okay.
You want my Venmo?
Yes, Venmo, Cash App, all of those things. So, guys, I just want to ask you, just from your personal experience or maybe the experience of others, you want to change the name to Protect the Innocent. What are some of the biggest discouragements that you face as a small church pastor?
When I do events and they don't produce what I expected them to produce.
Come on now. I didn't ask to be insulted today. So unpack that a little bit more.
So I put all this time, this effort, this belief that God's going to do something great in this event, whatever it is, and I go to do it. And then as I'm going through it, I'm just not seeing what I was expecting to see, but the fruits of it. And then I get past it, and it didn't happen like I thought it was going to happen.
Yeah, it's the hope that kills you. Absolutely. And you're just excited, and you're thinking on the front end of this about all this good stuff that's going to happen. But then just the backside doesn't get worked the way that it needs to be worked or whatever it is, and it just can be discouraging. And I don't know, like, I do know because I know you very well. You're not just talking about big events also. You're talking about Sunday, right?
Yes.
Like, you expect people to invite people, and we give altar calls. We expect people to respond. We ask for people to serve or volunteer or give financially, and we expect people to respond, and we just don't get the response.
Man, this is a great sermon. Oh, man, people's lives are going to be changed when I preach this sermon, and then nobody comes to the altar. Man, this is a great sermon. What are y'all doing?
Yeah, and then as a pastor, I know you guys have felt this. Those sermons you think are going to be amazing end up flopping, and those that you are just, like, discouraged about, people are like, man, that one moved the needle in my spiritual life, and you're like, dadgummit. How do I capture that?
It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit after all.
Dadgummit. Here we go with that.
Yeah.
Kobe, what about you, man?
You know, I had the big event thing as well, but I had it kind of a little bit different where you plan a big event. There's a lot of excitement for that big event, and then only a few people sign up to help you. Mm. And so, you know, you're expecting the church to just come out on fire. Like, you know, we are going to change this community. This is going to be awesome. And then there's only like four or five people that join you in the efforts to make that happen.
We have
a ministry here that we call our Five Street Ministry. It's based on what Joey does with his four streets, but we do one better. And so I took the idea from Joey because he only has four streets around his church. So we've got five across the road here from us. So our Five Street Ministry, and you know, we have events that we want to get out into the community and say, hey, this is what we're doing. And we say, hey, next Sunday we're gonna go door to door and put door hangers up, and you know, we're gonna invite people. And then I got like two families show up and help, and everybody else just rolls after church.
And it's always the same families.
Yeah, it is.
And this is something I wish that I had learned earlier as a pastor. It's always going to be the same people that are committed.
Yes.
It's always going to be the same other people. And I'm not going to say that they're not committed, just in case somebody's listening and I don't want anybody's feelings to get hurt thinking I'm singling them out. But the reality is, the same group of people that do the work are going to be the ones doing the work, and the same group of people that don't do the work are going to be the ones typically not doing the work. And you just, I used to think when I was a younger pastor that I could change all of that. But the longer that I lead, the more I'm realizing I don't even think Jesus could change some of that. Like, I just think that, hey, man, you're going to have people like a John 6 moment, right? Like, Jesus has fed the multitude with the loaves and the fish. And then the next day they come looking for him, and he's like, well, you're only seeking me because you ate some loaves and fish, but you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they're like, hard pass. Yep. We're not doing that. So that's just
it is. And it's discouragement. I mean, you've got this great thing going on. Usually it's Easter or Christmas or something like that. And you got these big plans, and you're saying, all right, we're going to get together. We're going to go out and we're going to canvass the neighborhood. And if everybody would join in, or even half of the church would join in, we'll only be out there for like an hour apiece. Instead, there's like five people there, and so you're out there for 3.5 hours trying to get things done, and we don't stop doing it, but it can be discouraging.
Yeah.
How about this one? They get mad at you, and then you read the comments they make about you on Facebook.
Now, I thought that we said before we got started, before we press record, that we're not going to get too personal, and now here you are making me cry again. So you're telling me that people will say bad comments about their pastor on social media?
Well, they won't mention by name, but it's the church they used to go to, and you know.
Or you'll get something like this. Some churches still love people, but there are other churches that have forgotten what love really looks like.
Well, I had a guy to say that his pastor was toxic. And that was me.
Yeah, that was beautiful. I got an email from somebody one time that I was a monster pastor, and they copied and pasted an article from churchleaders.com about signs that your pastor's a monster, and they put it in there. And I'm like, dang, man, I didn't think I was that bad.
Did they put their name to it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, they put their name to it.
Yeah. This was a resignation letter is what this was.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So
church split letter.
Love the ones that people are so spiritual that they don't sign their name to it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we got a young
special file for those.
We have a young pastor in our denomination that got an anonymous letter complaining that his shirt was too wrinkly. And I said, dude, I would sleep on my shirt every Saturday night and wear it the same shirt for a year. I would. I would sleep on it every Saturday night just so it'd be wrinkly every Sunday.
It's like, that's, listen, man, if we have down, if we've denigrated the, I don't even know what denigrated means, but anyway, if we have downgraded the mission of God to the point to where our biggest gripes are your shirt is wrinkly, we've probably missed the mission of God. Mm-hmm. And maybe we're pastors that are up on a soapbox right now trying to defend other pastors. And I get it, because that's what
we do.
We felt that, and we know that there are other people that are listening to this that aren't pastors. Pastoring is a tough job. It's a tough, tough road to hoe. And we accept that gratefully. We're glad that God's called us into ministry. But these are just some of the discouragement that you face. I know of a pastor friend of mine who, man, people were actually like pleading the blood of Jesus over the doorposts because they thought that like a plague of heaven was going to kill the pastor because he did some things they didn't agree with.
Yeah, I think it was a prophecy that the pastor was going to get struck.
Yeah, like, wow, those are discouraging things. I would think that you would do. You probably, that wouldn't happen to you, and you would go, isn't God good? God is good.
All the time.
Now, and all the time.
To be clear, that was several years back, so I'm not responsible for COVID. That's not the way.
So I think he just said who that friend was.
Yeah, he just let the cat out of the bag. So, yeah, like, discouragement just happens, man. And the thing, we did this podcast a while back where, you know, people come and go, money comes and goes, volunteers comes and go. Like, that's just the discouraging things that come along with ministry. And I actually had a counselor. Not the Holy Spirit, but this guy was full of the Holy Spirit. I had a counselor, a psychologist who was talking to me and helping me work through some ministry discouragements. And he would say this every week when we met together. Sometimes he would lean over and grab me by both of my hands. We're across the table and he would grab me by both of my hands so I could look him in the eye, and he would say, Brian, people are people. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And I'm giving him all these excuses. And he would just go, Brian, people are people. And he wanted to get this across to me. When I understood that people are going to act like sinful people, that sinful people are going to act like sinful people, then the discouragements, while they still are there, they may not be take as big of a chunk out of my soul. So discouragement is real, man. Like, what are some other discouragements that we've dealt with as small church pastors?
Well, you invest in somebody and they end up leaving the church.
Oh, mm-hmm. Man.
That's yeah, a you yes. spend a lot of time with them and you're discipling them and maybe you're helping them become a leader in the church, and then they roll. They go to either a more entertaining church, or they don't go to church anymore, or whatever it is. And you spend a lot of time with them. You invest in them, and then they're gone.
Yeah, that hurts.
Yeah, and if they move on to another ministry, at least they're still a ministry. When they leave, when you poured into them and you loved on them, and then you don't see them in church, that's even more heartbreaking. Because at least the other one, you're going to see them in heaven and can go, why?
I don't know. I disagree with that. I'd rather not go to church and go to somebody else's. Dadgum that, man. I mean, I don't want it. Because what that does is that feeds into my insecurity. I wasn't a good enough leader, but this person was. And my church wasn't good enough, but their church was. So they left me. And I turn it into a pity party. I do agree with you. I'd rather see people in heaven, but that's another discouragement that I would.
And then there's some that leave and don't tell you.
Mm. And then whenever
and
you
never
to,
communicate with
never
you.
Communicate and you try and, to figure out what the deal yeah. is and it's crickets.
Yeah. yeah. They don't yeah. they won't return calls, they won't return text, but you have other people that have talked to them and they claim that nobody's reached out to them, and it's like, okay. God bless you.
God bless you. So what we're saying today on this podcast is discouragements, they are really a part of ministry. And they're not just a part of ministry, but they're also can seep into your soul and into your family life.
Yeah.
And I know for me, I'm that proverbial something goes bad at work and I go home and kick the dog guy. Now, to be clear, I don't kick my dog. I actually absolutely love my dog. I don't kick my dog, but I'm the type that I can take my frustration out on my family. And my wife has told me before, she's like, I know you're not really talking to me. I know you're talking to fill in the blank with situation at church. And me, in the heat of the moment, I'm like, no, I'm talking to you. But she's right. Sometimes I will take that discouragement and I will handle it in an unhealthy way, and I'll let that leak over into my family time. And, you know, one thing that we're going to be talking about in a future podcast is how we can also bring some of that in with our family, with how we treat our time.
All right.
And so stay tuned to the Small Church Leadership Podcast for that one. We're going to be sharing on that one in a little bit. But as we kind of move into, we've talked about the reality that discouragement's there. Well, how do we handle it? Like, what have been some ways that you guys have handled discouragement, maybe that you're not quite as proud of, or you wish you could have handled it in a different way?
Go ahead.
I was going to say I eat. And I eat. And I eat. And I eat.
In abundance, yes.
And I eat. Mm. You know, it's just, we were talking about the TV show King of Queens, and there was an episode where Doug was at an Eaters Anonymous type class, and he said that, you know, Carrie was always yelling at him, and he would look at a bowl of jambalaya and say, Jambalaya never yells at me. I mean, that's when you're looking at your food, when you're an emotional eater, you find comfort in a donut, but then you find even more, if one is comforting, then 12 has got to be great.
Oh, yeah.
So then you find
Jesus
yourself.
Jesus had 12 disciples?
Yes.
12 tribes of Israel?
Yes.
Come on, baby.
12's got to be a great number. Come on. Let's go 12 Krispy Kreme donuts.
And the peanut butter just fills the cracks of the heart.
And see what we just did there? That was Paul Blart Mall Cop. We are talking Kevin James, one of my favorite
like crazy,
people
right?
ever. We're bringing him in. Wouldn't it be awesome to interview Kevin James on the Small Church Leadership Podcast? Like, he has no idea anything about small church ministry, but we would just be like, hey, you remember that time when you were in King of Queens?
That was cool.
That was awesome.
So, yeah, well, I mean, to go back to that is just, you just kind of eat. You kind of fill in the gaps of discouragement because donuts don't yell at you.
The other thing I do is I throw myself into activities. Golf, fishing, shooting, somewhere where I can might find some success, or at least I can express my anger when I don't and nobody thinks anything of it.
Right. Yeah. And so, like, that's a place where I go to as well. It's like I just throw a lot of that frustration into other things. Like, you know, I can get mad with a golf ball.
Oh, yeah.
And that's acceptable for me to be mad with a golf ball. You say it all the time. There are two things that men are allowed, two emotions men are allowed to have, and one of them is anger. And like, oh, yeah, I'll be angry with this golf ball, and I'll just handle that in an unhealthy way.
I think,
oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You go.
Now, one of the other things I think is we get sarcastic or snarky. I will deal with discouragement by saying different things about, you know, well, you know what? They don't care. They don't love Jesus. You get really, really snappy with people and just get, your discouragement ends up discouraging other people.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just like, you know what? Misery loves company, and I'm going to bring you down with me.
Yeah. And I'll hijack conversations so I can tell people about just how bad my situation is.
Yeah. And I'll turn into a one upper.
Yeah.
Like, so we could be talking about anything, but I'm going to bring it back around to the thing I want to talk about here's something that I'll do as well. I will overspend.
Nope.
Because just like we said that donuts don't yell back, like, okay, well, I've been wanting a new book. I've had my eye on this one. Pay no attention to the fact that I've got 100 that I haven't finished yet, and I'm being very conservative with that number 100. I'll just buy another book, or I'll buy another this, or another guitar pedal, or I'll buy another, and I'm trying to not look at Joey because he's like pointing at me, and I'm getting very scared. But that's an unhealthy way.
Don't mention guns or grills.
Yeah, no guns or grills, and I'm good with you guys. And so I will overspend. I will, and I think for me, when I engage in these unhealthy coping mechanisms, amongst several things, one of the things is it's a way for me to control the outcome. And what gets me discouraged is I can't control the outcome. I can try to control the variables for a big event, but I can't control if people are going to show up or not. I can control the variables of a sermon, but I can't control if that's the sermon that God deals with them on or not. But you know what I can control? I can control how many boxes of donuts I eat. I can control whether or not I make this purchase of this book that I'm just going to put on my shelf so it looks good when I'm making a YouTube video or not. Like, I can control that, and that control kind of helps me. It helps me avoid the discouragement that I faced in ministry before. So that's something that I've experienced with those negative things there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that sometimes we give up. Sometimes we'll give up. Whether it's an event that you're like, okay, well, there's just nobody going to help me, so we'll just cancel the event.
Oh, why even do it? Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And come up with some. I mean, I could. We can keep on going, right? A lot of negative stuff as far as, well, we'll complain, we'll argue, we'll come up with a lot of excuses, and just to kind of try to control control what's going on around us.
Yeah, take it out on our family, take it out on our activities, take it out on these things instead of handling it properly.
Yeah. Well, okay then. So how do we handle it properly?
You start a podcast.
this is a podcast, not a confessional. Okay.
Right. Yeah, we start a podcast so we can talk about our discouragements generally. Generalization, you know.
I'm not liking the way that this podcast is going.
I put down talk it out, you know, because everybody gets us for, you know, they get us for, what, 30 minutes a week. but it's the other times that that we spend together, whether it's on, you know, Marco Polo or text messaging. I mean, the three of us are not just together once a week. We're we're together just about every day.
And I thank God for that, man.
Yeah, because that has helped get through things, even though it you know it may be a situation that is discouraging. If we bring it to each other, just a simple, hey, I'm praying for you. I know you guys are praying for me. You don't have to pray for me right there in the moment. I know that you're praying for
me. Yes, we do. We're Pentecostal.
And well, okay. So I know I'm being prayed for. And so that's one of the big things is you got to talk it out. You got to have those close. And we've talked about having close friends since episode one. And we're on 49 now. No, we're on 48. We're on 48 now.
40-something.
Yeah, we're on 48. And so, you know, a year ago when we started, we were like, you got to have friends. And that's a big part of how you get through the discouragement in a healthy way is to talk it over with a friend, a mentor, or a coach, you know, somebody that can,
Or a counselor.
Yeah. You talk it over with somebody because it may be discouraging, but you may also be taking it personal for no reason. Mm. And so when you talk it out, you can help each other work through the situation.
Yeah, and sometimes hearing somebody go, you know, that really sucks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then having that person that can speak into that situation and speak truth in that situation, even though we might not want to hear it, is
like
good too. Friends to be able to do that.
I'm quitting this podcast.
Not only a conversation with other people, but a conversation with ourselves. Having a real conversation with ourselves where we get honest about why we're feeling that way. Why did that discourage us? Because we might look and go, listen, our hope was in the wrong thing. What we thought was in the wrong thing, and we got to have that real conversation. Why does that bother me so much?
Man, that is
so that we
so,
can get real.
That's so deep and so much wisdom in that statement. And I think I was talking with my wife just the other day. I think it's so much easier for us to fool ourselves than we think it is. Like, you know, there's that, how was it? Abraham Lincoln said you can fool some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool whatever it is he said. You know, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott, all of those things. But, like, I should probably have researched that quote before I tried to pull it out of thin air.
That's okay.
But we can fool ourselves and being open and honest with ourselves. Why am I responding this way? Why am I so angry about this? Or why am I so offended or so hurt or so fill in the blank with whatever it is you're doing? That's really, really good, man.
Yeah, the best person we ever lie to is ourselves. And we'll lie to ourselves all the time. I know I have when I've had those real conversations and I got down to the nitty gritty, it would have been the opposite of what I would have told you if you'd have asked me because I didn't want to face with what that was going to uncover.
Denial is more than a river in Egypt.
Yes.
Well, I think another thing, man, that you hit on, Joey, is allowing people to speak into your lives. And I'm not as good at this with people that I don't pay to do it. I'm really not even that good with people that I do pay, like counselors. Even when they tell me what I need to hear, sometimes I will excuse it like, well, here's why I really did that. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know me. And they're like, no, you did that because you have a deep-seated insecurity, and you felt like if you could fill the building up on a Sunday, then all of a sudden your insecurity would go away, when in reality, it's like people who win the lottery. About 4 years later, they're back in the same place they were, if not worse. And I just want to allow people to speak into my heart like that. And I'm really working on that and praying that I would not wear my feelings so much on my sleeves so that I can be like, man, Colby, Joey, my wife, April, you've got permission to speak into me. And, man.
You're not going to like what they say. You know, you give somebody permission to speak into you, you're gonna get upset if they say something that it doesn't like support your way.
Yeah. It's a sore spot. It's like having a sore tooth.
Yeah.
If you have a sore, I don't know if you guys have ever had a root canal, but I've had one before, and it can be sore when you're chewing on it before you get it fixed because it's open, exposed nerves, and you got to get it fixed. And that's where these insecurity places, and which is a big one for me, but all these other issues. And if you're speaking at it, it's like I'm chewing on something with that exposed nerve, and it just hurts. And my natural response, like think about when you get like if you hit your thumb with a hammer, like your first natural response is not to go, praise God from whom all blessings flow, right? Like your first response is to say some other words and chuck the hammer across the street. And that's sometimes how it can be when we when people speak into our lives, we just have to, man, you know, the Bible says a fool vents all his rage, and I'm a fool sometimes.
We got to get that out too. We can't hold that in. And so have that friend we could talk to, that real conversation with ourselves we can talk to, because if we just push it down sometimes, that discouragement to its full, and it comes out in an argument with our spouse or other places where we mess up something because we didn't stop and deal with it when we should have dealt with it. We weren't honest with ourselves. We didn't have conversation with friends, and we didn't have conversations with God about it. Well, we had conversations with God about what was not the real issue because we didn't dig deep enough to find the real issue in there.
Yeah. Yeah. We gave them the old, what is it? The rope-a-dope. Yeah.
Yeah. We sanctify our responses, because we don't want to have that real conversation with God. God, this is how I'm feeling. Lord, what I really want you to do is smite that person.
Right. Right.
That's what I really want you to do. Let their tongue dry up in their mouth. Crush their teeth, Lord. Those David prayers. We want that.
Let the other side of their pillow never get cold, Lord.
And that's what we want to pray. But we ain't honest with that. Oh, Lord, really bless them. And and so he can't deal with the real issue in our life because we're not dealing with the real issue.
My goodness. Well, this podcast has gone off the deep end, and I am offended, and I don't think I'm ever coming back to this church. So you guys are terrible. You're the worst. No, seriously, guys, thanks for talking us through a little bit of discouragement. And we could go on and on about healthy and unhealthy ways to deal with it. But what I think we've all kind of said we want to deal with today is, man, discouragement is real. Dealing with it in a wrong way is real, but dealing with it in a right way is real. And we want you to be healthy by dealing with it in a right way. So if we could sum this up in maybe one statement that you would say to a pastor that's going to be dealing with discouragement, I think I would say, get real with yourself. What do you guys think that you would say?
I think you stole mine, but that's get real with yourself and have those conversations with the three people, yourself, God, and others.
I like it. Colby, what's the dopest thing they could do?
Get over it.
Get over it. Okay. So now here's what I love about this is we're talking about how to get started, and now you're talking about how to get finished.
Right.
Like you get started by being open and honest, and you got to get over it. You got to deal with it.
You got to move on. Yeah. And because pastor of 9 years, if something that happened my first year in ministry is still discouraging me, I've been no good to my people. I every time that event comes up, every time that holiday comes up, every time something happens, I'm going to be in a position where I'm just going to be like, oh, it's going to fail. Oh, it's going to be miserable. Oh, here I go again. So yeah, I was kind of like, do I really want to say get over it? But yeah, I do, because when you do those things, eventually you got to get over it.
Yeah.
You got to understand that those people that you invested in, they left. People are going to do that. You said that the counselor said people are people.
People are people.
I've got a mentor that would say all the time, people do people things. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to get to that point where you're like, man, this does suck. This is awful. I can't believe they did that. But you know what? Somebody else is going to do it. I would rather invest in somebody and they leave than invest in nobody.
Oh, man. And with that, we would like to say thank you for being part of the Small Church Leadership Podcast. That's so good, man. I would rather invest in somebody and they leave as opposed to just not investing in somebody altogether. And that, my friends, is the heart of a pastor right there. Probably the heart of a bunch of other words that we're going to say after we hit, after we stop recording this.
I thought you were thanking me for my last episode.
No, we're going to keep you around a little bit. So, man, as we close this time, man, I just want to say thank you to all of you guys that have been making the Small Church Leadership Podcast a success. Every time you go and you give us a rating, or every time you go to our Facebook page and like the Facebook page and follow it, it helps us to be able to get this content out to more people that it could be a blessing to and helpful to. So, Joey, what can they do in terms of helping us out with that?
Well, they can go to wherever they get the podcast and give us a 5-star rating.
I love that, because the better ratings we have and the more ratings we have, the more opportunity we have to reach people where they are with the hope of the Small Church Leadership Podcast. Colby, how can they find us?
They can find us on Facebook by going to the search bar, typing in Small Church Leadership. You know what? We're going to post a comment on, or a post on our Facebook page asking you, the listener, How do you deal with discouragement unhealthy? And what do you do that is healthy? That way we can maybe help each other on a bigger scale than just the listeners. Yes. Maybe the people that see the Facebook page that don't listen, they'll be able to see this as well, and maybe that'll be an encouragement to them.
Absolutely. I absolutely love that. So, guys, thank you for being with us today for the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are prayerfully and hopefully, I mean, with God's grace and all of that, helping the small church fulfill the big mission. My name's Brian.
I'm Joey.
I'm Colby.
We love you guys. We'll see you next episode where we're going to be talking about time management. You definitely want to be there for this one. We'll see you then, guys. Bye.